I want to thank you for coming. My name is Tom Berger, and I am conducting the Alaska Native Review Commission. This commission has been established by two international Native peoples organizations, the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which represents Eskimos from Alaska, Canada, and Greenland, and it is co-sponsored by the World Council of Indigenous People, which represents Indian people from North and South America and Indigenous people in other countries. And the commission has been asked to travel to every region of Alaska to see what Alaska Natives and Alaskans generally think about the Land Claim Settlement Act of 1971. The land claim settlement is over 12 years old. You've had 12 years experience with it, and this is an attempt to review the progress made under the land claim settlement, to hear from you the things that have worked out well under the Land Claims Act, and to hear the points about which you wish to make complaints about the Land Claims Act. As you know, the Land Claims Act provided that in 1991, the shares in the corporations could be sold. That is, under ANCSA, the land is held by the corporations, and if Native people sell their shares in 1991, they could lose control of the corporations and lose their land in that way. Some people in Fairbanks said, some of the Native people in Fairbanks, where we've been holding meetings the last 4 days, some of them said, well, we'd like to be able to sell our shares in 1991 and get some money. Others said no. In fact, most of the Native people everywhere we've been have said, no, we don't want to sell our shares. People shouldn't be allowed to sell their shares because we want to make sure we keep our land. As you may also know, in 1991, the 20 years after the land is conveyed to the corporations, it can be taxed by the state. So that in the years after 1991, the land could be taxed. Wherever we've been, Native people have said, how come our children born since 1971 are not entitled to be enrolled as shareholders? And that's been something that people have discussed with the commission wherever we've gone. They've said, well, what about our children? The ones that were born before 1971 are entitled to be shareholders in the village corporation and in the regional corporation here, the Doyon Corporation. Children born today are not entitled to have shares in Doyon or in the village corporations, except, of course, where they receive them under the under inheritance from their parents. Those are some of the questions that people are concerned about. People have raised the issue of sovereignty and Native self-government. We've heard about land, subsistence, all of these questions, and we're here to listen to your views. We want to hear what you think has been good about ANCSA, the good points of the Land Claim Settlement Act. We want to hear what you think are the bad points. We want to hear it all, both sides of the story. And where you have concerns about the future, we'd like to hear about those too. Everything that is said is being recorded by Jim Sykes, who's here with me, and it'll be typed up, and a transcript will be made, and all that is said will be, at this meeting, will be sent back to you. We'll type it up and send it back to you here to Nanana so that you will be able to have a record of all that was said at this meeting, and the full transcript of everything that is said is going to be available as well. Next year, after I've visited all the regions of Alaska, I'll write a report, and it'll be sent to Alaska Natives, and I hope it will reflect all that you have said at these meetings so that it will enable you to decide what you are going to do about 1991 and about Native sovereignty and about all of these questions that people keep raising. This commission has already visited some of the villages on the West Coast. We've held lengthy hearings in Anchorage. We've been to the Otna region, and we held 4 days of meetings in the Fairbanks area these last few days. So we are going to be here today, and we're going to hold a meeting at Tanacross tomorrow so that people in this area, particularly the Athabascan people, will have an opportunity to state their views. When you speak, I wonder if you wouldn't mind coming and sitting down at this seat so you can speak into the microphone and it can be taken down and recorded. I should say that these people over here, this is Eileen McLean from Barrow, who is working with our commission, helping to organize meetings, and the gentleman seated with her is David Case, who's a professor at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, and has written the book on Alaska Natives and ANCSA, and he is a leading authority on the rights of Alaska Native people. We have a guest with us, Dr. Chandra from India, who is distinguished visiting professor at the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, and simply wanted to come with us to visit Nenana today so that he could see something of the country besides just Fairbanks. And so we're pleased to be with you, and I should say that we were, of course, supposed to come about a week ago, and then we were told, well, don't come because the Ice Classic is on, and then it turned out we could have come anyway, so there was a bit of a mix-up at the crossroads. But here we are, and I'm glad we were able to come, if only for these few hours this afternoon. So we're ready to begin, and I know some of you do want to make presentations to the commission.
I'll break the ice.
Okay.
I hope first that your recording man, when he goes to rewrite the things we have to say, leaves out all the ums and ahs and whatnot.
All right, we'll get him to leave that out. Could you just start out by giving us your name for the record?
My name is Jack Irwin. And there are two points that I would like to bring to light at this conference. Two concerns and somewhat paradoxical situations that I seem to arise in the Land Claims Act as it was written. The first of which was a situation where by the creating of the corporate structure, as it were, caused for the Native people to have to choose in their selection lands that actually were lands that were less significant as far as cultural purposes went, due to the fact that they had to try to create an economic base by which to structure their corporations. In other words, in our own situation, we were set upon a course to have to select lands primarily for their timber resources as our only economic base for this area could be the timber resource. And these lands, as far as cultural significance went, were somewhat lesser in value, yet through the structure of the land claims, they were the lands that naturally we would have to select. That in itself somewhat drew us from the course of our cultural activities that would have helped to sustain our cultural base, and was, in my opinion, a part of an effect that caused the overall detriment of the native population as a sovereign type of people. The other situation that I see to have arisen with land claims in talking of the continuance of the native people through the corporation and the question of children born after the year 1971 seems to have the effect of not so much outrightly taking from those native children born after that date their right to claim to be a native person in full effect. It seems more that it left a burden upon those applicable to the claims at that time to see to it that their corporations could survive for that cause. And there's no doubt that if the corporations were to succeed, that those children following the course of the land claims eventually could have some benefit from it. But the one seems to do away with the other as far as choosing between maintaining a cultural heritage or progressing through the corporate structures. I may have talked around in a circle. I get a little bit nervous talking, and anybody does, but the points I would like to make are that in asking if land claims did lay any groundwork for a good outcome for the native people, I see that it was possible, but within the 20-year time span that it was to be achieved, it seems almost impossible. So much for that, and thank you.
Just, well, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Irwin.
My name is Gerald Riley, and I can only back up what Jack says. The corporation was designed with an Englishman in mind, I think, when they designed it, because an Englishman could quite well handle the corporate structure because of his education. And as native people of Alaska, which were Aboriginal people, to clarify that a little better, we weren't even educated, most of us, to what two bits was until a few years ago. So that was quite a step for anyone to take to knowing how you handle money, how you handle land. And it wasn't designed at all for the native man to begin with. The only design I can see out of it is to divide it among the people, and that should have been done at the very beginning, because all we created, and every one of us here are guilty of this, we've created a lot of thieves. We've created people who have gotten away with a lot of money, and we sanctioned them because we let them stay in that position and handle all this money. So for us to say that a certain number of people are thieves, that's okay, but we got to point at ourselves also. And that's how I see the native land claims today. And I just don't see any way in the world that we can do anything but be, still stay natives, but still divide up our land, and that isn't going to take away our native culture. It isn't going to take away that I can call a white man Gusuk. That isn't going to stop that. And we're still going to have potlatches. We're still going to hunt moose. We're still going to hunt ducks. If I want to, I can still go paddle a canoe. You know, this native land claims has no significance whatsoever in making us native or less native. It's just, it was designed so man can come in, white man can come in, and do whatever he felt like it. And he knows the land is going to be divided up. He knows already that he's going to get his development. And I say, stop it, and let's stop making thieves out of ourselves and pointing fingers at each other and forget all this nonsense. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
I'm Albert John, 63 years old, probably the only person in this room that was born right under the railroad bridge here, 1921. And all I hear for the last 10 years about this Indian land claim, a white man come and tell me, you guys are rich. You own all this land. Right now, I think he lied because I put in a cabin out here, 10 miles out in Enano, and a friend of mine from the St. Mark's Mission up here built a cabin there in 1935. That burnt down. And I have another buddy worked at the railroad section there. He built a cabin. I bought the cabin from him. So that rotted down last 5-6 years ago. And then I built another cabin. I trapped there in the winter. And I went up to the land office, Fairbanks, and they told me I could not homestead it, or I'm not supposed to live there. And there was no marks or nothing. Now I went out about 3 days ago to nail up my cabin there, the windows and stuff, and there's a stump that you could kick over. It shows you how long people have been in that area. I was. It's rotted down, and there was a red ribbon tied on it. Now, I don't understand those things, a bunch of writing. And they told me I can't claim the place. And if we have this land claim coming, why in the hell don't they give it to us? Give it to us now, because we lost about 6 stockholders right here in this little village that never got any help at all from the corporation or whatever. And then another thing I heard is, if they give us this land, we can't do nothing with it unless Dayan tells us to, or something like that. And then another thing is, I can put up a cabin on that land they're going to give me, but if a white man found oil under it, it goes to Dayan, Tamna Chief, or whoever the people are.
No, it goes to Dayan.
Well, Dayan ain't supporting me at all. That's why I want my land. Whatever I can get, I want it now. I'm not going to be here forever. I need that help now. In fact, I should be out there looking for ducks and muskrats right now to make my living instead of sit here. Because I went to a bunch of these things and the damn thing never turned out, none of them. And all you hear about it in the newspaper, they make a big thing out of it. That's all. You just hear about it and that's it. Nothing's being done. I want that land now. And you're talking about those kids that born after this, they struck the oil or something like that. Well, that's TS. That's tough shit there, man. Either quit making babies. If I know my kids ain't going to have anything like I'm going to get from this outfit, I'm not going to go out like that. That's tough. That's the way all the head honchos put it down in paper, I guess, with this guy you call congressman or something. Yeah, I say let's give the people what they got coming now. Don't wait forever. You know damn well they're going to die. They're dying every day. We got a couple more is going to die in a few months here, right here in Enano. Them people need help. They need money.
Well, John, under the settlement, Congress actually gave, or Congress agreed that the native people of Alaska should have 44 million acres of land. That is about 10% of the land in Alaska. They said, we will arrange for the village and regional corporations to hold the land and manage it for the people. So Congress would say to you, well, you got your land back in 1971, and you're saying to me, well, when are they going to give us our land at last? I mean, you have a village corporation, you have a regional corporation, they've got the land. Are you saying that they should distribute the land to the shareholders so everybody's got some land?
Yeah. Right now, I don't mean next 10 years again. I want it now. Yeah. I'm trying to build a cabin over here for 6 years, right along the road there, over towards Monte Rosa there. I picked out a spot, and they said, no, you can't. I asked why, and they say that's state land.
When you say they, who is they?
Ori Williams.
And he works for the state government?
He was working for a corporation here. He was a boss or chief or something there.
That's the village corporation?
Yeah.
Here in Nanana?
Yeah. Then I asked to cut some logs on the corporation land to build myself a cabin, and they said I can't do that either.
That is the corporation, village corporation?
Yeah, Tagatili Corporation. They said I can't cut logs on my land to build myself a cabin.
Why not?
I don't know. They were having a meeting just like this group right here over at the Tagatili one time when I came in there. All the wheels were sitting there and I had to stand up and I told them there they won't give me no land. And so I said, well, hell, I don't see any sense of belonging to this corporation if you can't do that for me. I said, just give me my discharge papers, get me out of this. I want to get the hell away further over. The whole thing is going down the drain, you know. Now you're on 10, that chief just using us here. That's why they got a big office up there. They're using our, whatever we got coming in. You could see that pretty plain. I could see it. Without us, they wouldn't be up there, you know. Yeah, I'm just here and I want my land now. Because everywhere I go, There's all kinds of survey trails and orange ribbons. And I come in, I don't understand it. They don't say nothing. And people told me it's state land and all that. So I don't know. They don't give me my land anyway. I'll take what I can take. Because a lot of this stuff is going in the river, along the river banks, and a lot of them is burning up. It's like a Dune Lake fire out there. That's an Indian trapping grounds out there, and the white man, he just let it burn so they could put garden in there. Pappy Moss, he was going to sneak out of the bar one night, and I just nabbed him and told him about that. That's when they got on Tanana Chief, and they sent firefighters out there to put that out. That's our trapping area. Yeah, I wish somebody come up with something here. I want my land. Where's all the office people? Come on up here and tell me how long more I'm going to wait. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sure, quite all right.
I think Al John touched on a real good point that pretty much represents the befuddlement of everyone concerned from the offset of land claims, in that what was actually given and what was actually received with the land claims is something that seems to have eluded the entire concept among the people. Land claims, not just in a indirect sort of way, but outrightly abolished all native use of the land as was and still to somewhat of a degree remains among the native people, to trap and to hunt on the land, to use the land for their own use. And for giving that up, in return they received the settlement, X amount of dollars and the corporate structure and all that. I really don't think that there's a majority among the native people, from my own experience, who really understand that concept, that you gave all of that up. Al John, the way he's used to living, the people who are used to living that way, the people who want to continue living that way, that has been sold. That is no longer of your possession. That has been sold, and for it, you have received X amount of dollars and X amount of land in the corporate structure. And so then that places the burden upon the native leadership to create a situation where they can be economically situated in the entire scope of things, including all the state lands and everything else. They have to be situated within that structure of their own degree to make it continue to work. And it's been a futile attempt to this point to really accomplish that. That could be dwelled on forever, and I think probably in your report that you're going to write, or whatever comes of this meeting, that you would be hard-pressed to lend any advice as to overcome that situation. That's something that's within the minds, within the soul, and not something that has a direct answer to. But I also thought of a different situation that we have experienced, and it may not be our very own, but it seems to me to be one of perhaps few cases in our particular place here in Nenana. The land claims also created a situation by where the governing authority of the natives, the self-government of their tribe here at this particular spot, was diminished to a degree that it only exists now in principle. There, prior to land claims, there was already an established village here, as anyone knows, because we're part of the land claims. They came here and they said, yeah, this is a native village. Actions here at this particular place went to the municipal government of Nenana. They're the ones who sit in that position to make those selections.
That's the 1,200 acres.
The 1,200 acres. So a situation arises there where the natives, a portion of what the natives had sold, their aboriginal rights and uses of the land, part of what they gave up falls to the benefit of those other than their own tribe. That's the way the situation is here at Nenana. I don't know if it exists at any other place, but it has led to many complications, as you might imagine. If, like other villages, many other villages, the native council and the governing body of the village are one and the same, lends much benefit to the overall ability of the corporate heads to continue and to progress, whereas here we're dealing with two separate entities, one of which is not acknowledged legally or otherwise.
That's the IRA, is it? Or the
No, they wouldn't let us have an IRA. We're just a tribal government.
A traditional tribal council.
Right.
Traditional government.
Right. But that has little, if any, governing significance, and lends very little to the overall ability of the natives to cope with the land claim situation.
The other body being the state chartered municipal government.
Right, the first class city of Nenana is what it's called.
Could you tell me where the village corporation fits into all of this?
I would say that the corporation falls into a position of well, I can't find the right words, but they're having to deal with the municipal government on a strategic type of a level, where they sit to the table and barter across the table for this or for that, and which consequently leads to legal action and attorneys and all else that comes along with all of that particular situation. As I said, if there were no first class city or another governing entity at this particular place, Nenana, the land claims would probably have come out entirely different for us.
If there were no city chartered by the state government, land claims would have come out differently.
Right.
Just could you elaborate on that?
Well, to give an example, a prime example of, to help you to understand somewhat, the way the situation is right now at this very place where you sit, I'd have to go into somewhat of a history of the area, which if I could just keep it to the point, would involve at one point in time a native village here of substantial size, which took in both sides of this river, and then the coming of the first of the white men who were missionaries, Episcopal priests, who led the native people to what they conceived to be a more fashionable existence, taught them how to garden and whatnot like that, and showed them how to start and develop into a community. And just as the priests felt that some progress was being made along those lines, is about the time when the railroad came through the area in 1921, I think it was. But at that point, seeing that there would be a different problem than what they were dealing with, the preachers asked that the government move the tribe to a different location. And at that time, because of the fact that the railroad was here, was going to come through here at this very place where a native village lay, they seen that it would have to be turned into a town site, which the president at that time, I think under executive order or however they did it, he proclaimed that so many acres would be taken for townships at this location for the use and construction of the railroad bridge here at this spot, which led eventually to today, or prior to land claim somewhat, they set aside portions of those townships which were withdrawn for railroad purposes. They set aside a portion of that for the natives. The natives never got moved to a different place. They just simply set aside a different area for them, which was here where you're sitting, everything on this side of that railroad tracks. And this was called the St. Mark's Addition. From there, the St. Mark's Addition then became known as Indian land, more or less. And there was a point in time, as I understand also, when it was strictly enforced that the natives stayed here and the non-natives over there. And ultimately, being the outcome that the non-native sector formed their own government, which eventually led and to the suppression of the native government on this side, which involved the first step, I think, to that, the detriment caused by that was the fact that the non-native sector's government annexed and incorporated back into the overall township the land of the St. Mark's Addition.
Oh, I see.
And that created a situation where that led, and then with land claims and everything, ultimately led to today when the two native forces, one being the corporation and the municipal government, are at loggerheads on a continuous basis. And the resolve may well have been more easily reached if there was also a recognized native government, an IRA or the likes. But as it is with the traditional council, the authority bestowed on them is very minute and causes actually a situation where we're playing with a short hand. We haven't got our full ability to to approach the situation. Anybody? I'm getting tired of talking now, so.
Okay.
Maybe it's easier for somebody else.
Thanks, Mr. Irwin.
Henry Ketzler. See, I'm presently a member of the village, I mean a board member of the Village Corporation. And I think older stockholders, I think one of the bad things about the land claims is that I think there should have been a provision made to take care of the older people before they die, before they don't, you know, never get any thing out of the land claims. And the children born after, I think they should be included, because if they depend on the inheritance, I think that people would probably be left out. And another bad thing is I think that the village corporations should have had been able to have the subsurface rights of the land. I think that's one of the worst things of the land claims, too. And on the land selections, one of the worst things is about the lands that we had left to select was already all the best lands was already taken up by the federal and state and private, and we had to just sort of pick through what was left, and then to be a money-making corporation. We have a conflict with making money and the native culture. And then there's I don't think when the land claims was passed, I don't think, I'd say 99% of the native people didn't understand it. And I think there's at least 90% of the people right now don't really understand how the land claims work. And after the year 1991, I think that there should be some way that the natives can keep their land without having to sell it. I think that's about all I had to say.
Could I ask you a question, Mr. Ketzler? You're a member of the board of the Village Corporation. How do you feel about the idea of imposing restrictions on the right of shareholders to sell their shares in 1991? Do you think that the shareholders of your village corporation would go along with that, or do you think they would say, hey, no, I want to sell my shares and get some money for them?
Well, I think that they there should be some way that the corporation could buy it back or something, but I mean, it's, I think it's their right to do what they want with it after that, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of them will want to do that because of wanting the money. They haven't hardly had nothing out of the, hardly anything out of the land claims settlement as so far.
Well, have they had any dividends from the village corporation?
Well, they had one dividend 1 year.
Do you remember how much it was?
Yeah, $100 per stockholder.
And I'm sure this information, how do you feel about, just speaking for yourself, if in 1991 there were to be a law that said that Native people can't sell their shares in their Native corporations, or that if they do, it would only be to other Native people, how would you feel about that?
Well, I think that'd be one of the solutions, but I mean, I myself would want to keep the land if I could.
What about the point that Mr. John made about distributing parcels of land to the shareholders? Has your corporation been engaged in distributing any land to the shareholders, or did they decide as a matter of policy they shouldn't do that? You know what he told me that he wanted some and couldn't get any. Any comment about that?
Well, I think they should distribute some land, I mean, a little bit of land if they want to go live on it or something, build something on it. But I mean, that takes more time than anybody realizes. You've got to study and pick out the land and have it surveyed. And then find a way to distribute to everybody that everybody would be satisfied. Because I know human nature the way it is. I mean, if you just go and have a lottery or something, there's at least one or two is going to start hollering that somebody's got better land than they have and things like that. I mean, it's, I'd say it did take about 4 or 5 years at least to come up with a good land, distribute a plan. But everybody wants something right now, and that's one of the problems. And
right. Yes, thank you, Mr. Kessler. Thank you.
I'm Walter Lord. I live in Fairbanks. I've been following your in the news, the commission's meetings, and I've never been able to attend any, so I finally got down here today. I'd like to express my opinion as to how I've been treated and my family and my children regarding the land claims, and also to give my opinion on the right to sell your stock in the Village Corporation. As far as I'm concerned, the Village Corporation that I'm enrolled to hasn't done anything for any of my children
or myself. What corporation is that?
I am enrolled to the Village Corporation of New Exit. And also, at the beginning of the Land Claim Settlement Act, at the time of enrollment, the type of enrollment was never explained to us, that you could enroll to your major corporation, which everybody had to do if you enrolled. at the Village Corporation, if you enroll to them, the money that would otherwise come to you would go to the Village Corporation. And at that time, we were enrolling for all of our children. And so we decided to, well, the way they explained to us, it was a small amount, and everybody pooled their money, and they'd do better than giving it to individuals. But later on, there was no mention made of the people that enrolled at large. When my check come for $79, and somebody else over here got a check for $700 or $800, that's when I discovered that we were misinformed. And also, there are other people that enrolled at large like that were not living in the area, were living in a city like Fairbanks, and they got the bigger check, but they still enrolled to the major corporation. And because it was never properly explained to the people that were enrolling, in my case, my family, my wife, and my other relatives, a lot of dissension arose there as to how to enroll. Now, I was raised up on the Yukon, and I enrolled to the town of Beaver. Now, my wife was raised in the Arctic area, and at that time, they were trying to get a bunch of people to enroll to the Colville District so they can establish this town and get more money for their corporation. So she adamantly wanted to enroll in that area to help her people, let the money, what small amount of money had come into her and the kids go there. So I let her enroll the children there and herself. And I enrolled at Beaver. And then one of my children, as he got older, put up an argument that he didn't want to be enrolled up there. He wanted enrolled down at Beaver, so he was so adamant about that that we tried to make the change, and a message came back from the enrollment department down there that they can't change once you enroll. So we couldn't move him, his enrollment. Then later they discovered that I was enrolled at Beaver, so they said, well, you can't have your family up there and you enroll down here. And so they changed my enrollment. Enrolled me to the Village of New Ipswich. Now this caused a lot of problems with you trying to live down here, and the people I raise up with, I try to help them up there, and you're not enrolled there. There's a lot of discriminatory action all the time when there's job opportunities and other things come up. The same way with Doyen. And the people enrolled here, you're living in Fairbanks, you're not enrolled there. All their people comes first. I had one of my boys signed up for this training program for training on drill rig. That's before they even instigated the program here, and he was the first one to sign up. And then he said, well, we've got to treat everybody fair because we're getting funding from the federal government. Yet they selected 12 people that signed up after him, and he never was selected. And this thing goes on all the time when it comes to asking for money for grants for children to go to school. My children get left out. First place, they're not enrolled to the region where we're living. And Fairbanks was never granted a village. Now they say in there they don't qualify for a village, yet you had Eskimo Village up there that's been there since the 40s. Sure, it was sitting on native land, government land down at the railroad tracks, but still the village was there and the people were there. Now that's something else. I think it should, there was dealt wrong. The people living there, away from there, didn't get a fair break on that. Well, they said you can enroll back the village and then you'll get, they'll represent you back to where you come from. But what happened there, all they do is send you a notice once a year saying there's a meeting. They'd like to have your vote, and here's a proxy paper here. And that's all you'll get. They don't notify you of the monthly meetings or any of the business. I had children that's trying to go to college, and their grants never come through, and those people from the village just come in there with everything paid. And they work during their Christmas vacation trying to pay, the college would say, you got to pay right now or else you get out. So they put their money down they made during the vacation. Now, when the grant come through, you think they give that to the kids? They say, no, there's too much money here. It's taking, send the rest of it back. They never reimburse the kids. For that reason, I had two or three children drop out of school. They couldn't make it no more. This is a type of unfairness that I'm trying to express at this meeting here. And I think that the option to sell ought to be reserved for that individual. After 20 years, you take the type of treatment that that corporation give to them children. Why should the government now restrict those kids from selling that? If they can get $10,000 for their stock over here from a white man, and the Village Corporation can get it for $10 or $100. That's the unfairness of it. That gives them an incentive to treat those people fair. Well, they talk about other people that live in Fairbanks and Anchorage. We don't owe you nothing. Sure, the people that enrolled at large don't enroll back to the village. That's different. But if they took their money, as I understand it, it's $2,000 per head from the government, and then another $2,000 per head go to the village from the state off this oil royalty fund. That's $4,000 a head. Myself with six children and myself and my wife, that's eight. $32,000 went to that village corporation, but they ain't doing anything to help my kids. When 91 rolls around and they get a chance to sell that stock, now they want to take that option away from those people that never got anything out of them. They take all the jobs, all the opportunities. Every time we call out there, we're fresh out of applications. We're not taking anymore. One of these kids go up there and work on the job. They work a few days and get a check and said, well, you got to go home now. We got to save these jobs for the people living here. That's the way it is all over. If they want those people that own stock in a village corporation, they better start treating those people fair and do something for them. Another thing, the way the government set up the corporation and the board selection, like in the Barrow District, there are 15 board members, one member from each village, five from Barrow, two at large. It's either two or three at large. And I went up there two, three times trying to represent my people here in Fairbanks that's enrolled back to that corporation. And they block you out every time. Barrow takes the five members off their town and they run for their large seats and put the strongest vote getters up there to push you out. For that reason, Anchorage and Fairbanks has never had any board member on that board up there. And all you get is a notice once a year saying it's a meeting and a proxy asking for your votes. That's all it's meant to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lord. Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Claude Dementoff. I'm originally from Holy Cross. That's where my corporation is at now, Doyon. Maybe what I have to, I testified in 1968 before the land claims, you know. And maybe what I have to say now might, if you want to take it the wrong way at times, I don't mean what I, you know, I try to get my point across. But I testified where we needed the title to the land, you know, in order to develop and use for collateral and stuff like that. And even now I find myself, I got no title yet. I set fight my corporation to get the title to my land. We find itself that the native people are divided by the settlement. We have people that's in the corporation that's taking the role of the federal government and the state government had for years in holding the people, is holding them just where they wanted them. We find ourselves in that position, at least I could see it that way. And I feel that the settlement was very unfair. Our leaders, except the settlement at that time, I cannot see how they could have settled for that. To me, it should have been 40 million acres should have been given to Fairbanks, Ketchikan, Juneau, and Anchorage, and the rightful owners of the land get the rest of the land. You know. That's how it should have been to me. It was very unfair.
You mean 40 million acres should have been given to the non-native population in those cities?
Yeah, it should have been there where they should have. They shouldn't have taken a role of the native people up here. They should have took a role of the white man people, see where he come from. Because it was our land. It was established, it was our land. It was, we were the Aboriginal owners of it, you see. And it was, to me, it was all wrong. It was all turned around. We should have had the balance of the last of the 40 million acres. And it's divided the people. We're fighting among one another. I suppose we'll be, the real fights will come yet. The conveyance is only now coming to the corporations. And even the Hoyakos, where I come from, I have to fight them to get the title to my land that I testified in 1968 I had to have in order to develop. And I find myself, I still don't have it, you know. It's not the white man's fault or anybody else's fault. It's our fault for putting them people in there what we do now. So. But that's about all I testify.
Yeah, you said that you're enrolled to the corporation of the village of Holy Cross.
Yeah.
But you're living here in Nenana, is that it?
Well, no, I have business here and I come here. I'm in Doyon Corporation.
Right, right.
Yeah. But I'm in a village corporation, a Holy Cross. Yeah. I don't know, you must know my wife, Martha Dementov.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And your son?
Yeah, she testified at Anchorage when you first came.
Yes,
up.
Oh, yes. Oh, she, yeah. She made, she, I remember that very well.
Yeah.
Well, you said, Mr. Dementov, that you testified back before the land claims.
Yeah.
And you said you had to get title, that people had to get title, native people, so they could use the land for economic development, so they could use it as collateral, and so on.
Yeah, because the title is, it's pride of ownership, you know, and you, it's an incentive to build on it and improve on it, you know, and thereby improving yourself, you see. But we find we still don't have the title, you know. The corporation's crumbling, and they're taking the place of the federal government. The BIA, you know, they're calling us right.